Praise the Lord. Everybody, I said, praise the Lord. Before the study today, I need to emphasize that the church is ecclesia. Ecclesia means in the Greek, called out people. Called out people are saved people. The people who have come out of the world. And they're different from the world. The world is sinful. The world is corrupt. The world is incorrigible. When the people of the world do something wrong, anybody that rises up to correct them becomes an enemy. And the next time, they will do exactly what had been corrected to show that they don't want correction. The church is different. The church is ecclesia. And every member of the church wants, desires, teaching, correction, so that you'll get to heaven. And I've noticed that whenever we come for meeting, the teacher will stand up here, he'll start praying, and people are still walking in. We tried to correct that. In the past, before I start teaching, everybody settled. But because I made some corrections, to react to those corrections, there are people now that will like to show the pastor, we don't want your correction. Don't talk to us. Read the word. Preach the word. Get out of there. We can't do that. Correction is very important. And if there's anything to correct, and we don't correct it, then it means we become cowards. Preacher, pastor, general superintendent, coward. And then there's no church anymore. There's no ecclesia anymore. We remain the church the Lord has called us to be in Jesus' name. Psalm 141. I'm not preaching yet. I'm still making the corrections I need to make so that those who want to show that they don't want correction and they're going to react. I want to see the reaction. I want to see those who are not born again in our midst. I want to see those who are called workers who are deliberately rebellious. I like to see them. You want to fight? Well, fight the good fight of faith. And the pastor cannot be wrong. He's fighting the good fight of faith. Is standing for the Lord and standing for righteousness. Is standing for what the church stands for. Earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once we shift from that and we allow some backsliders, unbelievers, people who have sneaked in into the ecclesia, but they're still part of the world. We allow them to take over the church. That will not be right. Church, I said that will not be right. Look at Psalm 141. Keep on standing, but open your Bible. Psalm 141, verse 5. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil that shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Where are the people to pray when they get to calamity, when they get to problem? And if we compromise, we're crushed, we have the fear of man, and we don't have the fear of God, when we pray, God will not answer. We have the fear of God when we rebuke sin. And when we say, let the church be the church. In Proverbs chapter 3, I read from verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father correcteth the son in whom he delighteth. The father too must correct his children. The mother at home must correct her children. If we say there's a father in the Lord, in the church, the pastor must correct the members. We must have the mind of Christ. What's the mind of Christ? Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 19. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Don't rebel. As many as I love, he is not going to come down here and talk to us directly and correct us directly. He uses a servant. He uses your brother. He uses your sister. And he says, this one is going out of the way. Correct him on my behalf. And he does that in love. And we do that in love without fearing any member, without fearing any worker, without fearing anyone that will deliberately rebel because of correction. We'll do our part. Whatever you do with the correction as individuals, that's between you and God. But if the pastor is a father, if the pastor is the teacher, he must correct whatever the position, whatever the authority of the people who are to be corrected. Why does he do that? Because he wants the church to stand up straight. He wants the church to go in the path of righteousness. Because he wants the church to remain peaceful and holy. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And if correction stops and disobedient or righteous people hijack the church, then where is the peaceful, united life? And where is the holiness? Where is the uniting together to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints? By the way, when some people know they've done something wrong and the church is discovering it, let's say, for example, some people have gone into immorality, a fornication, adultery, and they know that the church is in the know, in the knowledge of what has been done. Then they try to distract us. He might have heard. Because he might have heard, he may bring correction, public correction. And so they try the old trick of rebellion, of disobedience. so that he'll be looking at that rebellion, that disobedience, and their fornication, their adultery will not be spoken about. That's a gimmick, a game, a strategy of the devil. The church will not dance into the hands of the devil. Give me a good amen. And the word of God says in 1 Timothy, it's a Bible church. Don't let anyone, any backslider there, remove our feet from being planted solidly on the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. When somebody has committed sin, instead of going before the Lord in repentance and accepting whatever discipline will come, whatever chastisement will come, whatever rebuke will come, to drive the preacher, the teacher away, that will make the correction. He begins to do things so as to use that as a screen against his fornication. And then they put their heads down, they put their legs up, they do some unchristian, satanic things so that they will stop our mouth from rebuking sin. We're unstoppable. I said we're unstoppable. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Look at verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, and those ones you can deal with. You need to stop them. Whatever they are doing, you do, because their sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. The sin is lodged in their conscience, in their mind, and the sin follows them like a shadow. They cover it up. They will not allow exposure. If anybody knows about the sin, if he's likely to talk, these sinners do what the people of the world do. They go ahead and get rid of the person that can expose them. And some people bring that attitude to the church. And so their sins will follow after them. No forgiveness, no repentance, no restoration. If they die in that condition, all the people that were rioting, fighting, so that we will not talk about their sin, and they allow those people to die in their sins and go to hell, they'll be held responsible. Titus chapter 1. Verse 13. This witness is true. All that I've been telling you now, the witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. I pray you'll be sound in the faith. At church, you'll be sound in the faith. I will remain sound in the faith. You remain sound in the faith in Jesus' name. And when you are to rebuke, rebuke before the rest of the people. It's not a private thing. It's not something we call people into a local secret chamber. And then we'll say, we're hearing this, we're hearing that. Be careful. That's what Eli did. He lost the priesthood. I pray the position and the privilege the Lord has given us, we will not lose in Jesus' name. Last Tuesday we heard about Mordecai. He took his stand, and all the congregation supported him. They didn't say, that's fanatical, that's eccentric, that's peculiar, that's awkward. How could he do that? They all supported the same thing in the church today. If your pastor takes a stand on something, if your pastor corrects something, he's looked into the scriptures. After all these 46 years of ministry, he's not an eccentric man after all, he's a spirit-filled man. And when he takes his stand, if the church is still the church, everyone in the church without exception, without a rigid, firm compromiser, everyone in the church will come into agreement with our Mordecai today, with our pastor. You'll be in agreement. I said you'll be in agreement. That's the essence of the church. We're not just coming here, the word go back the same. Things are going to be different. If you're in agreement, say good amen. Raise up your voice and pray and tell the Lord that you'll be in agreement with the teaching of the word of God. And if sin has to be rebuked, if evil has to be rebuked, if fornication, adultery has to be rebuked, you stand with the church. Let me hear you pray. No reaction, negative reaction to the teaching of the word of God. You don't want to push your pastor down and walk over him, tread over him. You don't want to be hard-hearted, disobedient, rebellious. Let the righteous smite me. Let him rebuke me. Don't hijack the church. Don't push down the church. Don't destroy the church. Because you have your own idea of leadership in the church, different from the Bible's idea. And so you have to react. Tell the Lord to remove that spirit of the world from your heart and from the church. Your pastor should not be a sugar daddy, only smiling, laughing, happy when there's sin in any one of our lives. Anything to correct? Pray that God will give you, if you're a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, God will give you the grace to correct it, and correct it firmly. Believers don't protest sound doctrine. Believers don't carry placards protesting correction. No Israelite Jewish person try to intimidate Mordecai. They all supported. And Mordecai was strong. And Mordecai remained strong. That's how the church should be. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say good amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. We bless your name. We thank you because you brought us here for a good purpose. And we pray that your purpose will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. The purpose of Satan will not be fulfilled in our lives. The purpose of a sinful world will not be fulfilled in our church. And the purpose of Judas Iscariot will not be fulfilled in our lives in Jesus' name. Bring us, Lord, to the platform of faith and help us by faith to move on and to be who you want us to be in Jesus' name. Well, thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said, we're coming to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Tonight we're looking at faith afresh. And the topic is the expectation and realization of faith. The expectation and the realization of faith. Faith is important, very essential for our relationship with God. Faith is very important, essential for our Christian experiences. Faith is essential for our walk with God, for our healing, for our deliverance, for our victory in battle, for our dominion over the enemy, for our exploits and fruitfulness, for our possessing all our possession, and for our entrance into heaven. Faith is based and anchored on God's unfailing word, not on our feeling, not on our senses, not on our sight, not on our thoughts. Faith is not based on our imagination. Faith is not based on earthly knowledge, on human possibilities, on our emotional state, or tangible evidence. God's promise, that's the foundation of faith. God's pronouncement, God's power is greater than all these other things. Faith will say, God has said it. I believe it. I receive it. I confess it. I realize it. I believe it before I see it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Once again, we're speaking tonight on the expectation and the realization of faith. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the expectation of faith through God's promises. We look at the promises of God. And from those promises, as we interpret the promises, apply the promises, personalize the promises, internalize the promises, embrace the promises, we'll say, what does this say to me? What does this promise ascertain? I'm going to have the expectation of faith through God's promises. Number two, the expression of faith in God's presence. We come to the presence of God and we look at the promises of God and we read and recite those promises in the presence of the Almighty, and we express our confidence in those promises of God, knowing that nothing can change any of the promises of God. Number three, the experience of faith by God's people. The experience of faith by God's people. I pray God will bring you into all the experiences of faith we ought to have in Jesus' name. Point number one, the expectation of faith through God's promises. In Jeremiah chapter 29, reading from verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. Amen. And not of evil. Another amen. To give you, to give me, to give me. He will give me, to give you an expected end. That expectation will not be disappointed in Jesus' name. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. Somebody there tonight will find the Lord. You are calling upon the Lord. You are expecting the Lord to do something in your life. Ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Faith expects God's word to be fulfilled. Faith expects God's power to prevail. Whatever the challenge, whatever the difficulty, and whatever the crossroad you find yourself, faith expects that God's power will prevail. Faith expects that God's promise will be realized. Faith in God, faith in the true God, does not expect him to fail. Faith in God does not expect Satan to be higher than God or stronger than God. Faith does not expect that evil spirit or evil people will be stronger than the Almighty. Faith does not expect that what we see will be more real than our invisible God. The expectation of faith is the performance of all the promises of God. The expectation of faith is that your prayer will be answered. My prayer will be answered. Our united prayer will be answered. The expectation of faith is that there will be solution for all problems. There will be freedom from all bondages. There will be righteousness in our daily living. There will be power for every hour. Faith expects there will be sufficiency in Christ. He has promised he will not fail. Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, we're reading from verse 10. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. The landmarks of the Almighty are irretrievable, irreplaceable, irreversible, cannot be removed. That's why God himself commanded that those landmarks should not be removed. The promises of God will not fail. In your life, in my life, the promise will not fail. Verse 18. In verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Let's make that personal. For surely there is an end, and my expectation shall not be cut off in Jesus' name. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, we're looking at verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, as he said, and shall he not do it? Everything he has said, Everything he has promised, everything he has spoken, he will do in Jesus' name. Was he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Anyone strong enough to reverse the promise of God in your life? I said, anyone strong enough to reverse the promise of God in your life? Balaam cannot reverse it. Saul cannot reverse it. Haman cannot reverse it. The enemies of progress cannot reverse it. Evil spirits cannot reverse it. And any silent, quiet, determined enemy behind the curtain from the village cannot reverse it and will not reverse it in Jesus' name. It said, he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. There's no enchantment against me. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel what God has done. Behold, the people shall rise up like a great lion. Our people, the church, will rise up like a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain. I didn't hear my amen. For you to be at this level of faith, at this level of confidence, at this level of expectation, faith must be well defined in your life. Faith, F, forsake all known sins. If faith is to operate without a hindrance, if faith is to operate without anything that will say no, if you are going to have power and privilege and the possibilities of faith in your life, look at verse 21. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. He must look at our lives in the private, in the public, and there's no iniquity. F, forsake all known sins. A, abandon all strange suggestions. The suggestions of the stranger that will come to you. Here is the way a child of God ought to walk. Here is the life a child of God ought to lead. Here is the path a child of God ought to take. And then the suggestion of the stranger. For you to have your own way, that's a stranger talking. And if you're going to manifest faith, number one, you forsake all known sins. Number two, you abandon all strange suggestions. Number three, ignore all symptoms. Let's say you're sick, you'll not be sick in Jesus' name. You didn't say amen to that one? Let's say somebody is sick, and there are symptoms of the sickness. And now he prays in faith. He must make sure as he prays, you forsake all sins. He must make sure as he prays, abandon all strange suggestions, the suggestions of strangers. He must make sure as he prays, ignore all the symptoms. The promise of God is greater, is higher, is stronger than all the symptoms. He trusts in the Savior. He has spoken. Nothing can reverse that. He has spoken. Nothing can change that. He has spoken. And he died on the cross. And he sacrificed himself to ascertain and to affirm the promises. Trust in the Savior. Each hold fast scripture. Hold fast the scripture. That scripture, that promise you are holding on to, hold it fast and let your expectation be based on that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. Performance in your life. Fulfillment in your life. Ezekiel chapter 12. Verse 25. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25. I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. In your life, it shall come to pass. In our church, it will come to pass. For I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Verse 28, therefore say unto them, thus says the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken shall be done. Shall be done. Shall be done, says the Lord God. Look at Matthew chapter 8, reading from verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, reading from verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus says unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Did you say amen to that? Read it from that word, but. But. You'll say that again. Now you will say it with a preacher's voice. Your servant will be healed. Your hand serving you will be healed. Your brain serving you will be healed. Your eyes serving you will be healed. Every part of your body will be healed in Jesus' name. Your son, your daughter will be healed. Your wife, your husband will be healed. Your loved one will be healed in Jesus' name. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, that I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, remember what the centurion had said unto Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now Jesus did exactly that, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed that selfsame hour. God will do it to your family. He will do it to your life. Your face will be honored in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 17. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They were not able. You will be able. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, unto Christ. And when they saw him, straightway the spirit cheered him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed for me. And he answered his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he saith of the child, and of times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The man said, if thou canst do anything. When we're talking to the Lord, we don't choose the word if. There is no if with the Lord. With him, all things are possible. We don't say, if it be thy will, cleanse me. There's no if. It is his will, it will cleanse you. We don't say, if it be thy will, save me. There's no if about it, it will save you. We don't say, if it's your will, restore me. There's no if about that. There's restoration with the Lord. If it is your will, make me whole. There is no if about it. It'll make you whole. If thou canst do anything, there's no if. He can do all things. He will do all things. I said he will do all things. Now look at verse 23. The if is on our side. The if is on the side of the one praying. Verse 23. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe. Any believer in the church today, anyone believing all the promises of God, the promises of God be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Look at verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He did it. He will do it in your life. We're coming to point number two now. The expression of faith in God's presence. The Lord has given us promises. And then we come to the presence of the Lord. And we express ourselves in prayer. The expression of faith in God's presence. In 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Reading from verse 25. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 25. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and tell me, and say it aloud, and say it well, and do as thou hast said. That's how to pray. You look at the promises of God. You embrace a particular promise of God. You apply a particular promise of God to yourself. And you hold on to that promise without wavering. And then you go to the presence of God in prayer. And you say the word that thou hast spoken concerning me, concerning thy servant, and concerning his house, any member of his family, concerning your church, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And once that word comes out of your mouth, you believe it, you stand on it, it will not fail. The word of God will not fail your mouth in Jesus' name. 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, in whose presence I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. According to my word. That's the expression of faith. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. When that word comes out of your mouth, stand on it. Believe it. It will happen. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. And Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Make sure the word of the Lord, not the word of man, not the word of unbelievers, not the word of contradictors, the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. That's the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth may pass away, the word of the Lord will not pass away. Verse 2. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. I pray that will not be your lot. Even if a man, an officer, a man in authority, contradicts the word of God, the word of God will contradict him, and the word of God will still be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Look at verse 16. And the people went out. That's the people that heard the prophecy. The people that heard the word of God. The people that heard the declaration of the prophet of the Lord. They heard it the previous day. And the Lord, a Lord on whom the king leaned because of his authority, he thought he had the boldness to contradict the word of God. And he said, even if the Lord will open the windows of heaven, can that be? And the man of God was shocked that anybody could mention the Lord flippantly like that and said, even if the Lord will do this, how can that be? And the man of the Lord pronounced, you'll see it with your eyes, God's word will be fulfilled. But unfortunately, your unbelief will not allow you to eat part of it. I will eat part of the goodness of the Lord. I will see it. I will see it. I will have it. I will possess it. I will benefit from it. Verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel. According, say it aloud, according to the word of the Lord. That word will always be fulfilled. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, reading from verse 25. Acts 27, verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Can we say that together? For I believe God. Can you say that again? Anytime there's a challenge, remember this, I believe God. Any time that difficulties, remember this, for I believe God. Any time the situation appears to be hopeless, remember this, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. It shall be. It shall be even as it was told me. It shall be in our lives in Jesus' name. The expression of faith is positive, practical, persistent. Faith expresses God's promises, not man's fears. Faith expresses God's promises, not Satan's doubts. Faith expresses God's promises, not the enemy's threats. Faith expresses God's promises, not present circumstances. And faith does not express bodily pains, historical ideas, or current trends. Faith contends against fear. Faith contradicts contrary feeling. Faith calms all fright. You're afraid. All that frightening circumstances. Faith calms all of them. All frightening thoughts. Faith corrects all false suppositions. Faith controls the fury of the enemy, enemy's fire. Faith will control everything. And faith confirms the faithfulness of God. Our God is faithful. He cannot fail. He will not fail. What he said he will do, he will do. No matter what doubts may arise, he will do. What he has promised, he will do. Faith continues holding fast until the promise is fulfilled, until the promise becomes a reality. It tells us in Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, we're reading from verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. 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 Set the Lord before you. Don't allow Satan to come in between you and God. Set the Lord before you. Don't allow those circumstances to come between you and God. Set the Lord before you. Don't allow any human being to come in between you and God. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You will not be moved. Look at Psalm 26, verse 1. Psalm 26, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. I will not backslide. Whatever others do, I will not backslide. However high the temptation will be, I will not backslide. You will not backslide in Jesus' name. Psalm 62, verse 6. Psalm 62, verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Say it now. The Lord confirmed that in your life in Jesus' name. Psalm 108. Psalm 108. We're reading from verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. Whatever the problem, you'll not be shaking. O God, my heart is fixed. Whatever you feel in your body, you hold on to the promise of God, and you're not shake, you're not move. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Whatever the storm, howling storm, or the waves beating upon your ship, your boat, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Your heart will remain fixed in Jesus' name. Satan will not have the upper hand. Evil will not have the upper hand. Psalm 57, 5, 7. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Challenges are in the world, and situations might look dark and dreary, but then you have the word of God, and you express your mind, you express your faith unto God, and you say, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. While you're singing and giving praise, like Paul and Silas, the foundations of the prison will shake. All those prison doors will open, and the expectation of the evil one will be nullified from your life in Jesus' name. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. He shall not be afraid bad news there will not shake you, will not move you, will not make you lose your faith. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire that you are crushed, that you are defeated, that you fail, that you fall, their desires shall be destroyed. Their desires shall perish. Look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I'm reading from verse 17. I think you should read this yourself. Open your Bible. Psalm 118. Have you opened the chapter? Verse 17. One, two, three, go. You will fulfill your destiny. All that God has appointed for you to do and to be, you will do and be in Jesus' name. Read that verse 17 again. You know, as you look at the newspapers nowadays, they say this one has killed himself. Another one has killed herself. Suicide almost everywhere, every week. It will not happen to you. However dark the horizon may be, however challenging the situation may be, however upside down your circumstances may be, God has a purpose for your life. That purpose will be fulfilled. And Satan cannot turn your life upside down. You will not die prematurely. Read that verse 17 again. 1, 2, 3, go. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse 27, God is the Lord. He has showed us the light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. That means you retain your consecration and you say nothing will move you, nothing will shake you, and you will not die prematurely. Hebrews chapter 10, I read from verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, we're reading from verse 23. It tells us in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful. You will not be disappointed in Jesus' name. Point number three now, the experience of faith by God's people. The experience of faith by God's people. We're looking at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, reading from verse 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, and being not weak in faith, He considered not his own body now dead. When you have faith in God, there are things you don't consider. And he talks about Abraham, because he was strong in faith, not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised is able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered from offenses and was raised again for our justification. As we look at the experience of God's people, and he gives us Abraham as a forerunner, as an example, as a model for us to follow. You see, number one, the foundation of faith, the written promise. The foundation of faith is the written promise. Look at verses 16 and 17. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise that is now written, the promise that is now given, the promise that is now for everyone, and it is by grace. It says it will be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, not of the circumcision of the Jews only, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written. Look at the written promise. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. The foundation of faith, that's the written promise. Number two, calling those things which be not as though they were. You have not seen it yet, but calling those things which be not as though they were. The symptoms may be, they have not changed, but calling those things which be not as though they were. You have prayed for supply, for abundance. You have not seen the provision yet, and yet calling those things which be not as though they were. The latter part of verse 17. Even God, who quickeneth the dead, that's who he believed, and he called those things which be not as though they were. Number three, believing and hoping against hope. The situation appears hopeless, but you have the promise of God, and you have the partnership of the Lord. The situation is totally hopeless, and you feel helpless, and yet standing on the promise that cannot fail, believing and hoping against hope. Verse 18, who against hope believes in hope. Remember, you have to make practical application of this. You have a challenge in your life, a challenge in your body, a challenge in your family, a challenge in the ministry, a challenge with your spiritual life, and the case looks hopeless. Who against hope believed in hope? that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, and so shall thy seed be. I said, so shall the fruit be. Number four, not weak in faith, not considering physical conditions. That's what stopped many people from having and realizing the miracle, the desire, the answer to their prayer that they want. They have prayed, and then they look at their body or they look at their circumstances and things are totally dead. And they look at the conditions and they look unbelievable. Look at verse 19. Be not weak in faith. Your faith will not be weak. I said your faith will not be weak. Even tonight, your faith will not be weak. Weak faith, weak amen. Strong faith, strong amen. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. His own body now dead. No more active. Activity zero. Operation zero. Possibilities zero. Counts zero. Medical report zero. And what he felt in the body, zero. He considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In spite of it all, your miracle will come. Not weak in faith, not considering the physical conditions. Number five. Not staggering in unbelief and not shaking. Not staggering in unbelief. Not shaking. Whatever God said will be, will be. I say whatever God said will be, will be. Whatever God has promised will be fulfilled. Whatever we see, whatever we feel, however things may be in the natural, the supernatural will soon take over. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Not staggering in unbelief, not shaking. Look at the next thing here, strong in faith, glorifying God before the answer comes. Strong in faith, glorifying God before the answer comes. The latter part of verse 20, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You will yet praise the Lord. I will yet praise the Lord. Number seven, he was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded, what he had promised was able also to perform. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Every promise of God to me. Every promise of God to me will be fulfilled. I want you to notice something here. The word faith. The word faith. We're looking at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Therefore, it is of faith. Again, look at the latter part of verse 16. But to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Faith of Abraham. Faith of Abraham. That's the second time that word faith is mentioned. And then in verse 18, who against hope believes in hope. That's another form of the word faith. He believes in hope. In verse 19, and being not weak in, tell me, in faith, you will not be weak in faith. Your faith will not be weak even tonight in Jesus' name. You must carry the blessing of God home. And then in verse 20, but she was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Then verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Able also to perform. Able also in your life tonight is able. In our families tonight, is able. In our church tonight, he is able. He will do it in your life in Jesus' name. Very important faith. F, faithfulness to his word. Faithfulness to his word. We know he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his word. He cannot deny his promise. He cannot say, I didn't say that. He cannot say, I didn't mean that. He means what he has said. He said what he meant. F, faithfulness to his word. A, assurance of his willingness. He wouldn't have said it if he was not willing to do it. He said he will save. He's willing. He will heal. He's willing. He will deliver. He is willing. That is assurance of his willingness. I, immutability of his witness. He has given witness to what he's going to do. He said, this is what I will do. And the Son witnessed it. And the Holy Ghost witnessed that. And the apostles witnessed that. And the written word, the Bible witnesses that. There's the immutability of his willingness. Because I know he's faithful to his word. He cannot change. Satan cannot change him. Evil spirits cannot change him. Evil powers cannot change him. The economy of the country cannot change him. The security or insecurity around cannot change him. Because of his faithfulness to his word, that's why we have faith. Because of assurance of his willingness, that's why we have faith. Tonight, you have assurance. You will not be disappointed. He will do and fulfill his word in your life in Jesus' name. Immutability of his witness, it's immutable, it's unchangeable. I am God, I change not. Triumph of his will. Triumph of his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And if nobody can contradict that will, and his will is triumphant in heaven, here on earth, his will will be triumphant. In your body, his will will be triumphant. In your family, his will will be triumphant. The triumph of his will. F, faithfulness to his word. A, assurance of his willingness. I, immutability of his witness. T, triumph of his will. H, the holiness in his wonder. The holiness in his wonder. If he says no after he has said yes, there'll be no holiness and we cannot wonder at him. He will be like man. If he said, this is the wonder I am going to perform in your life, and then he turns around and says, I'm sorry, I'm not able to. We will not wonder at his holiness. But the angels, the cherubim and seraphim said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And because he's holy in praises and in wonders, because of the holiness of his wonders, we know every word of God will be fulfilled. And in your life, there'll be no disappointment. In my life, there'll be no disappointment. Mark chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 12. Mark chapter 11, reading from verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now in verse 20, and in the morning, the following morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up. Tell me, dried up, say it. Dried up, let me hear you. From the roots, he had said it. And once we speak the word in prayer and we stand on the promises of God, look away from it. The following day, when you see that tree of a problem, from the roots, it will have dried up. Your mountain from the roots will have dried up. The cancer from the roots will have dried up. And the tentacles of all those evil powers and spirits would have dried up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, verse 21, says unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is dried, is withered away. And Jesus answering says unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, whosoever, that's a blank check for you. You are that whosoever tonight. I said you are that whosoever tonight. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, say something to the mountain. While we're praying, do not just be saying words or looking here and there or, you know, doing whatever. Say something tonight. To any mountain, every mountain in your life, that thing will move away. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. I will have whatsoever I say. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And ye shall have them. And you will have them. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus says unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many things are possible for you? How many things are possible For the believer here tonight, all things are possible. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. The authority is in your mouth today. The power is in your mouth today. The word will be fulfilled in your life in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 21. Reading from verse 21. Matthew 21 verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, what will happen? I say, what will happen? When you pray, what will happen? When you command, what will happen? It shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And all things whatsoever I will ask in prayer, believing, I will receive. And all things, and all things, say it, and all things whatsoever I will ask in prayer, believing, I will receive. Tonight, the word of authority is in your mouth, and faith comes from your heart. Say it tonight, you have it tonight. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Tell the Lord tonight, the expectation of faith and the realization of faith. If you need anything, ask the Lord. Something spiritual, something physical, something natural, something supernatural, something miraculous, something personal, something domestic, something professional, power, strength, ability, skill, that you want to be who the word has painted a believer can be. Tonight, you know that whatever you say, believing, you will receive. Say it and see it done. Say it and see it done. Be definite and specific in prayer. There must be a need in your life. For every problem, there is an appropriate promise. Claim that promise. Salvation, claim that promise. Restoration, claim that promise. The power to go and sin no more, claim the promise. Courage for duty, claim the promise. backbone strength. Claim the promise. Victory over temptation, over trials. Claim the promise. A promise the Lord had given you. He promised the Lord has given you in his word. And it has not been fulfilled. Claim the promise. Standing on the promises. Don't see it in the premises of doubt. Victory over sin. Ability over sin. Triumph over sin. Triumph over temptation. Living a righteous life. Living a holy life. Living a sinless life. Victory over that habitual sin. That besetting sin. Triumph, victory, overcoming life. It is yours as you believe. Victory over anger. Victory over hatred. Victory over animosity. Victory over bad temper. Victory over a rebellious spirit. Victory over deliberate disobedience. Victory. Holiness, you can have it. Righteousness, you can have it. A tender heart, you can have it. A teachable spirit, you can have it. The assurance of heaven, you can have it. Assurance of the victorious life. You can have it. The courage to say no to Satan. No to the flesh. No to the world. No to the temptress. No to the tempter. The power, the courage to say no to the flesh. No to the world. The power to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. A righteous life that's possible. Holiness in the secret, holiness in the public, that's possible. Transparent life, that's possible. The promises are yes and amen. Don't shake, don't stagger. Don't express impossibility. Don't express weakness. Don't express self-pity. I can overcome. I can have the victory. I can possess the promise. I'm not weak, I am strong. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't make yourself a weakling. The Lord has called us to the victorious life. Don't make yourself a slave of immorality. The Lord has called us a victorious life. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and be courageous. And let no unclean sin come to your life or to your family anymore. Be victorious. Don't die a backslider. Don't die a coward. Don't die a weakling. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For the seed of God abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Say no to sickness. A believer should not remain an invalid. Always sick, tormented, demons running up and down the back, evil spirits tormenting the brain, shallow, empty, not having courage, not having authority, not having the expected boldness to speak to the mountain. You're not remaining a coward. You speak to that mountain. Move. It ought to move. Don't allow that mountain to crush you. Cast it out. Make it move. Get it out of your sight. Be bold and courageous against every mountain in your life. Don't cry. Don't weep. Don't cringe. Don't be subservient. Don't submit to the enemy. You have only one life to live. Make it a life of boldness, a life of courage, a life of overcoming, a life for the victorious. Every day is a special day. Don't allow a day to leave you, find you a coward. Don't allow a day to find you overcome, conquered by sin, conquered by sickness, conquered by evil spirits. Make every day a day of conquering, a day of victory, a day of boldness. Every day, any day that finds you a coward is a lost day. That makes us saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. Look at my mountain. Look at my sickness. Look at my infirmity. Looks like the devil is having a upper hand. That's a lost day. Don't allow any day to come and go and leave you defeated. Say no. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I must be a conqueror. I must be an overcomer. Sin, no, will not have dominion over me. Self, no, it will not have dominion over me. Evil spirits, never. It will not have dominion over me. Society, the community, never. They will not have dominion over me. Sinners, never. They will not have dominion over me. Remove your head from their load. Remove your shoulders from their yoke. Be strong. Be strong. If sinners are serving Satan, let the saints serve our Lord, our Savior. If sinners are bold for evil, let the saints be bold for righteousness. If sinners are bold for the world, let the saints be bold for the Lord. Stand for what you believe. You believe in holiness, then be holy. You believe in righteousness, then be righteous. You believe in healing, then be healthy. You believe in the Lord, then serve the Lord without looking back. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and will not doubt in his heart, but will believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. In Jesus' name we pray. And the believers say, and the conquerors say, and the champions say, I am an overcomer. I am a conqueror. I am a champion for the Lord. Every mountain you have spoken against tonight is moved away in Jesus' name. Power in your life. Authority in your mouth. Faith coming from your heart. healing for your body, health for your totality, soundness in your entirety, salvation for everyone, sanctification for everyone, the power of the Holy Ghost for everyone. Victory. Victory. Victory in your life in Jesus' name. The Lord cancel rebellion from every life. Give me a good amen. And the Lord cancel disobedience from every life. And every day and every moment we'll walk in righteousness and holiness in Jesus' name. Raise up that hand for your victory, for your power, for your courage, for the enablement, for heaven's possibilities. Father, in Jesus' name. We bless your name tonight. We thank you for the promises that cannot fail. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your willingness. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for the authority you have given us. We thank you for the power you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the victory. Victory over sin. And victory over the shameful things of the world. And victory over the flesh. And victory over sickness. And victory over infirmity. And victory over every mountain. Lord, we claim the victory for everyone in Jesus' name. Make your people strong. Make your people healthy. Make your people victorious. I will pray, Lord, there will be victory in every life in Jesus' name. Sin shall not have dominion over any of us. Immorality shall not have dominion over any of us. The flesh shall not have dominion over any of us. The devil will not have dominion over any of us. In the secret and the public, we will have the victory. Over the flesh, we'll have the victory. Over bad habits, we'll have the victory. Over any backsliding, we'll have the victory. Over whatever pulls anybody down to the pool, to the pit of hell, we will have the victory. I pray, Lord, for everyone here and everyone hearing. I pray victory for everyone in Jesus' name. Righteousness for everyone. Holiness for everyone. Purity for everyone. Sanctification for everyone. Health for everyone. Dominion for everyone. Power for everyone. Assurance for everyone. I pray that every mountain confronting your people, I speak to that mountain, move out in Jesus' name. Any power confronting your people, I command that contrary power, come out in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, as we go back home, we go in the joy of the Lord. We go in the strength of the Lord. We go in the power of the Spirit. And all things from now on are possible for every one of us. We thank you because we know you have answered. Lord, we thank you because we know you have answered. You have given us everything we need. And we're going back with that victory. We're going back in that possession. We're going back in that power. As we go, no evil will confront or stand before any of us in Jesus' name. Every place you step upon, you'll possess. Every promise you claim, you will possess. The goodness of the Lord be with you ever in Jesus' name. You will not fall. Your enemies will fall. You will not falter. Your opposers, persecutors will falter. You will not be put to shame. But Satan and his followers will be put to shame. The Lord prolong your life. The Lord prolong your joy. The Lord confirm your victory. The Lord prolong all the goodness of his love upon your life. As you go, go in his strength. Go in his power. Go with assurance. When you come back next time, come back with testimonies. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray.